Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
He's got it low there. All right. Well, listen, welcome back to our show here, hour number two. And for those of you watching on the video feed, this gorgeous creature sitting next to me is the lovely Lady Claire, who decided to drop in for a visit in response to all the phone calls and emails that we received saying, "Where's Claire? Have you... You know, did you knock her off and bury her out backyard?"
No.
Nope, she's still here.
No,
she's
still here. Yep. Still here. Mike, thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you having you being on the show, and of course, you know, you've been very, very busy with, you know, writing your music and trying to find some place to sell your music.
Yes,
and going through. The split with the local Methodist church.
Yeah.
That's been rather intense. Yeah. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a phone call now. We're going to go to Andy in Texas. Hello, Andy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm assuming you can hear me. So, Claire, it's so nice to see you, and I'm not even looking at you. I got the phone in my ear. But it's just nice that you're there.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, no, we miss you. Fridays were good. They were fun, and we got to have a lot of fun with you. But I didn't know you were going to be on the show, so I do have a question. So I'm looking at these Rothschilds and Rockefellers, and a long time ago, they set up a meeting on Jekyll Island, and they had a whole bunch of these bankers that were independent bankers. So we had this big meeting and stuff, and there were some of the bankers that said, no, we don't need a central currency, because they saw the devalue of what they could make. But then these other bankers saw how they could actually rule the world. And so we kind of got this whole idea. Not that it didn't start. It didn't start there. Obviously, it started way before, because there's always been rulers. Everything that we've ever done in our lives has been nothing but rulers. Can you ever think of a time when there wasn't some ruler involved? Somehow people rose to, and it has to be with the monetary system. The value of stuff. Somebody had more than somebody else, and that made them powerful because they could pay these guys and blah, 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 all that stuff. That's naturally what's going on right now. But because the bankers said, you know, it wasn't just that everybody thinks it's Rothschild, but it was the bankers, the ones that agreed on Jekyll Island that we needed central banks everywhere. They all said, give us. It wasn't give me the monetary system. No, it's give us the monetary system, and we care not. Who makes the laws? And that's the thing I think right there tells you straight up. That told you straight up, because the monetary system, what runs our world? The monetary system. You have to work to survive. You have to make money to survive. The monetary system is everything. And right now, they're destroying the monetary system. Am I not right?
Go ahead. No.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. It looks as though that is the direction in which we are being pushed rather than led. If you take a look at stuff around you and if you're reading the international news in English, you know that what happened earlier was just the tip of the iceberg in terms of financial problems. And I would very simply ask our readers and listeners, don't have any more in that bank than you need to pay your bills. I think that's reasonable.
Well, I think a lot of people are doing that right now in the wake of these bank shocks.
Yeah.
but behind it all, ultimately, is the fact that private central banks are inherently unstable. If you really think about it, it's basically a Ponzi scheme where they just print money out of thin air, then loan it into circulation at interest, which means there's always more money owed to that private central bank than actually exists. And so there has to be rationale created to create more money to pay the interest on the old money. And it just keeps pyramiding up and piling up and piling up until, you know, we're in a situation like where we are now, $31 trillion government debt. And, you know, it's just impossible to pay. And people are starting to say, you know, how did we get into this mess? It is, unfortunately, a design feature, if you will, of this idea of a fiat currency.
Yeah.
And when this country was started, obviously, that was not the banking system we had. We had a commodity-based currency, silver and gold, and that silver and gold was the money. The paper notes were merely claim checks. And somewhere along the way, when they got rid of the silver in the money, we were convinced that the paper was the money, and it isn't. It's just ink and paper.
Yeah.
And it's not really a unit of value. It's a unit of debt. And, you know, there were three attempts to create a private central bank. There was the First Bank of the United States, and that one pillaged the American people, and so Congress refused to renew its charter, at which point Britain launched the War of 1812 to try and bring the U.S. back to colonial status. They lost that, fortunately, but the cost of War of 1812 was so great, it forced the United States to accept a new private central bank, the Second Bank of the United States. This aroused the ire of President Andrew Jackson, who succeeded in getting that bank shut down, whereupon there was an attempt on his life. So then at Jekyll Island, they said, we're going to have a third Bank of the United States, but we need a different name because the history buffs will remember what a disaster the First and Second Bank of the United States was for ordinary people. And they said, oh, well, we'll call it the Federal Reserve. It'll sound like it's part of the government, but it's really no more federal than Federal Express.
And you're absolutely right. And, Mike, you know, nobody knows it better than you do. And thank you, my girlfriend over there. Hey, I'm sorry, Mike. That's my girlfriend over there. I really like her. She's a sweetheart. Anyway, having said that, when it comes, everything that's happened in the world with this these banks and stuff, once we went off the gold standard, and don't you think it could still be fiat? Even if we had, at this particular point, these people are so corrupt, even if we had gold in Fort Knox that was backing every piece of currency that ever came out, don't you think that they would still just override it? Who cares, whatnot? But they did do it. They did do it perfectly because they took us off in, what was it, 1934 with Theodore Roosevelt or something, 33, something like
took
that.
Took us off the gold standard.
Richard Nixon took us the rest of the way off. Yeah.
And then we had the Nixon shock where Richard Nixon stopped backing the Federal Reserve note with gold, which back then.
And so what happened at that point? All these millionaires and billionaires started. The first two people we knew that were millionaires were Mr. Hughes, and then we had John Paul Getty.
J. Paul Getty,
he was the first billionaire. But then after that, here comes Bill Gates and all these other billionaires and stuff. As soon as we got off the gold standard, the money started flying. As soon as we got computers, the money flew even better. Do we really think that these people are worth $100-something billion? They actually sold that much software or hardware or oil or whatnot, that these people are that rich? And how could they do that if we were on the gold standard?
Well, that's not how their wealth is calculated. It also includes the worth of their assets, their homes, their companies, their, you know, their private jets and all the rest of it. That's what calculates up their wealth. They don't have that much money sitting in a money bin with Scrooge McDuck. You know, they have a lot of cash, but when they talk about this person being worth $3.5 billion, they don't have $3.5 billion in cash just sitting around. It doesn't work that way.
Well, on the same token, I think people have to remember this because that is the probably number one thing that really went wrong with our nation. That's where they got a real good control of the nation, was getting control of our monetary system. And they've done a very good job of it. Now, they're going to transfer us over to a digital currency system where there is no bills left. You can't go to the strip club. You can't buy your weed on the street. You can't go down to the street. And if you're a cash guy, I'm a cash guy. I don't have any credit cards, ATM or anything. I work and deal in cash. And when that happens, my show's over with. I don't know how do I fix that. You know, and that means I have to join some big club, you know. The club I don't want to be in. You know, there's a big club that we're not in, but there's a big club I don't want to join, and these people are forcing me to join in on it. So anyway, that's about what I got. Hey, thank you for taking my call, Mike, and I love my wife. Anyway, have a good day.
All right, thanks for the call here. We're going to go to George in Nevada. Hello, George. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. several months ago, maybe even a year ago, I was listening to one of your callers going on and on about how so-called intelligent, educated people were swallowing this COVID-19 nonsense, hook, line, and sinker. And I thought, this man has been reading my mind, and now he's speaking for me. Now, the point of my call is concerning sound money and Social Security. Now, I maintain that if we had sound money and did not have Social Security, nearly anyone who wants to be a millionaire would be a millionaire. My reasoning goes like this. Read the obituaries today, or any day. There will be somebody who's worked 20 to 40 years and died before they collect a dime. The government has been taking their money, all that 12.4% of their money for that 40 years or whatever. And you point this out to such people, and they agree it's a Ponzi scheme, but we can't get out of it. And you know, I'm talking to people with children and grandchildren, and I say, well, then we should just continue like we're doing. They say, yeah, even though it's going to collapse. And that's the point of my call. It's Social Security and fiat currency is here until the whole system collapses.
Yep.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And we're going to go to Bruce in Texas. Hello, Bruce. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, hello, Mike, and hello, Claire. Sure is nice to hear you again.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to send you I saw a good show this morning on RT. It was on the changing face of Christianity. And they had an Anglican deacon, Calvin Robinson. And he was discussing probably the same issues that Claire is experiencing now. I think it's a divide and conquer tactic they're using here. It's just a war on our civilization. But I thought this just broke today a few hours ago. Do you remember that podcaster that was there in the Ukraine? Oh, heck. You caught me by surprise.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name.
Gonzalo Lira, perhaps?
Yes. Thank you so much. Yeah, Gonzalo Lira. Yeah, he was just arrested today by the secret police, and he's been booked. He's going to face 10 years in prison for spreading Russian propaganda. I sent the article. It's on the Daily Beast.
Okay.
And I sent the article.
Okay, I'll look for it. Yeah.
In the box there. Yeah. And I just wondered before I go, because I'm going to be quick here. I'm sure Joe Biden is going to demand his release because he's just a political prisoner, just like he did that Wall Street Journal reporter, you know.
Okay.
Of course not. These people, they just have two faces. All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, and we're going to go to Joe in Tennessee. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, when you were talking about that Bud Light tranny whole thing, fiasco, we could call it,
yep.
Said that they'll be studying this in schools about what not to do. And
yes.
I don't know about that, because my what I think is going to happen is they're going to end up saying that this lady who was behind this was so far ahead of her time, that people were so backwards, that this is just the reactionary MAGA Christians in America. You know, I was at a park today, and there was like a school bus. It's by this little river in Cherokee, North Carolina, and all these kids come out of that school bus, and, I mean, they might have been 10-year-old kids. And I swear, out of about 20 kids, there were four of them that had purple hair, you know? I mean, and I thought, geez, you know, this is North Carolina. This isn't like some, you know, west side of New York. And I'm thinking, you know, yeah, maybe when these kids are 20, they'll be out there talking about how far in advance this the lady that made this Bud Light decision, her problem was just that she was too far ahead of her time, you know? Because
yeah.
that's the direction it's going in. Now, the real issue is like I said in a previous call, are these companies allowing these woke-tards to destroy their brand because, you know, they're scared to like stand up against it. Now, you're not hearing that much like negative stuff directed towards this Harvard-educated lady. It's all like Bud Light being stupid, and like it's really about the boycott, you know, against, you know, being driven by, you know, the baseball fans and them misunderstanding their audience. But really not enough, in my view, is about the damage that these woke people are doing in every aspect of our life, not just Bud Light. I mean, look at the Navy, look at the military. They're just, these woke people are really just so destructive. But there's, like, she's still on paid leave of absence. She wasn't fired. She won't be fired. They're scared to fire. If they fire her, she'll sue them in a New York courthouse and win all kinds of money. Because that's the society we live in. It's so, like, corrosive on so many levels that there's really, and like I said, in 20 years, they'll be talking about how ahead of her time she was a civil rights pioneer. You know? So I'm just saying, get ready for that. Now, a lot of this stuff with Tucker, if I could brush on this, I like what Tucker does sometimes, but I don't trust Tucker. I think he's false opposition. He's the only reason. I mean, I remember Tucker like berating that Professor Jones about Building 7 when he was on CNN. And remember that one? And he didn't even show. And the Professor Jones keeps saying, like, well, let's see the building, Tucker. Let's see the building. Tucker wouldn't show it. All he showed was a picture of the building. Remember that?
I remember that.
And like, how can I really trust a guy that can't even,
you know, that back then on 9/11, it may not have been Tucker Carlson's call to make. I mean, he certainly was not as influential within Fox News as he has been more recently. But I remember there was another Fox News host, Carl Cameron, who did a four-part story on the Israeli spy ring that had been uncovered in the United States just before 9/11. And it turned out to be the largest foreign spy ring ever found inside the United States. We had all these art students going on. Urban Moving Systems was being used as a cover. And Fox News shut that story down, pulled it off their web servers. So back then, yeah, it looked like Fox News management was exerting a lot more control over Tucker.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's kind of like now, by now, everybody kind of, the information, I mean, how am I supposed to trust somebody that's supposed to be a truth teller that can't even, like, talk about Building 7 now? Okay, back then, you know, maybe he was scared of losing his job, whatever. But that's my point about him. I really don't, I mean, I like some of his segments that he does. I think he's very intelligent. But deep down inside, I'll never really get over my lack of trust. The fact that he is affiliated with the CIA, they tried to recruit him. Just there's something about him that
Sean Hannity wears a CIA pin on his lapel during his broadcasts.
Yeah, I don't like him and neither. So I just don't trust Tucker. I see Alex is trying to schmooze over the whole Building 7 thing because now he says that Tucker says that, yeah, there's a lot of questions about Building 7. It's kind of like, it's to me, Tucker is being kind of put in a controlled opposition. It's like he's being manufactured as our future, like, leader. You know, I remember when they did that with Bill Kristol out of nowhere. Next thing you know, he's on all the talk shows. He's the guy that manufactures the consent for the right, you know, and where he was like Dan Quayle's chief of staff. And all he did was he was the largest neocon. I mean, his father was University of Chicago, Trotskyite, you know, and I feel the same way with Tucker. I think it's manufactured. He's being like created as the champion for us, and I'm not buying into it because of the 9/11 stuff. That's enough for me, you know. And I'm, you know, I mean, if you are a guy with, you know, here I am, I'm just some schmo merchant seaman, and I could put together 9/11. I didn't have the assets at my fingertips.
Okay,
that he
Joe,
does.
I hate to do this to
you. Okay,
thank you,
Mike. Happy weekend.
Bring this call to an end. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. Happens far too often. Decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? Preacher man.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're going to go to Charles in St. Pete. Hello, Charles. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I saw this thing in the May 3rd UNS review that was reprinted in the truthseeker.co.uk. It was the UNS review for May 3rd. Let me quote, there was also another development that preceded the Tucker incident. It might have some bearing on the final outcome. That is, the giant private equity corporation BlackRock bought a sizable chunk of Fox just 2 months before Carlson was given his pink slip. Here's a scoop from an article at NASDAQ, or at Fintel Report, this quote, Fintel reports that BlackRock had filed a 13G/A form with the SEC disclosing ownership of 45.74 shares of Fox Corporation Class A Foxa bracket. This represents a 15.1% of the company. So in other words, I'm saying this, I don't know if you've gone over this.
I didn't go into the detail that you're going into, but we did mention that BlackRock did acquire a big part of Fox News shortly before Tucker's departure. And there was another venture capital firm as well that also bought a large stake in Fox News. And obviously with that ownership comes certain, you know, managerial privileges.
Well, also BlackRock is supposed to be a big owner of Dominion. Big.
Yes, that's true.
I don't know if you've gone over this before. Maybe I'm going over something you already talked about.
Well, like I said, we did cover it before. Yes, BlackRock does own part of the Dominion election systems. They own part of Fox, and so. In one hand, part of BlackRock's portfolio was suing the other part of BlackRock's portfolio. And, that did have something to do with Tucker Carlson being taken off the air. Now, again, I don't know that he's actually been fired because he's had a couple of very lucrative offers publicly extended to him, one from One American News Network and the other from Valuetainment. And they're very generous. They're better deals than he had at Fox. And Tucker has not responded to either one. So I suspect what's happened is that there are 3 years remaining on Tucker Carlson's contract with Fox News Corp. And they're just going to keep paying him and keep him off the air so that he can't go on out and have an influence on the 2024 election.
Keep him off the air and keep him silent, keep him employed but silent
until after the 2024 election.
That's basically one that I wanted to cover. UNS review is it for May 3rd, is it?
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we're going to go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Hi, Claire. I sent you an email earlier this afternoon, Mike, concerning immigration, because I had called, was it earlier in the week or last week, late last week, I believe it was, I called, and threw the gauntlet down to one of the callers to go down to the border and find out, like, who's funding this stuff, who's feeding these people, who's clothing them. Obviously, that person didn't do it, didn't even bother to check, so I did, and what I found was the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees is one of the agencies that are funding it, our tax dollars. FEMA gives funds, and they've actually, funds have been allocated by the Biden administration for FEMA to specifically fund NGOs and charities that help these immigrants that are on the border, right? Waiting.
Yes.
There was one of those Twitter videos. I believe it was on your website.
Yeah.
Where they were, there was one of those, like a gut truck, basically rolling up and feeding these people. I believe that was the Red Cross, and also. Let me see here. I have these websites right here. The United States federal government is also, and the European Union, they're doing this to themselves. Here's the website here, and so is Canada. So in the United States, about almost $2 billion is being spent to directly fund this UN initiative, and the European Union and EU member states are putting in $1.5 billion.
Okay, Al, I'm going to have to put you on hold. Do not hang up. We've got to take a break for commercials, and I'm going to come right back to you.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened. Say it chills right to the core. This talk of holy war.
And welcome back to our show here. And we're talking with Al in Canada about immigration. And Al, just pick up where you left off.
So I believe I was talking about FEMA.
Yes.
And how a large portion of their budget is directly related to funding this illegal immigration through NGOs and charities. Now, also, Eric Adams wants FEMA to ban cities from busing migrants to New York City.
Just yeah, New York City. So does
Laura Lightfoot.
Yeah, Lori Lightfoot.
In
yeah.
Chicago.
So who is FEMA to tell another state what they can and can't do? Also, in this UNHCR, there are 7 regions that they're concerned with, and 18% is the Americas, 13% is Europe, 17% is the Middle East, and 31% is Africa. Well, actually, 31. It's more like 40% is Africa, and then 12% Asia and the Pacific. So that tells you, if anybody knows what's going on in the world, where a lot of these people, one, are coming from, and how they're getting into other countries, such as the United States, Canada, Europe, It's a very big problem. And it's not just, like, some people think these are very specific people that are doing this and targeting certain countries. No. Governments are doing this and targeting themselves. The United States government is using charities to hide just how much money is going to illegal immigration.
Yes.
And this was actually reported in the New York Post on May 5th of 2023. And I know, like, I know that I don't think I've ever seen anything on your website that, you know, was a direct link to New York Post, and I don't blame you, but some things are worth posting, because once in a while, these crooked media outlets do touch on the truth a little bit.
The New York Post that broke the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm funding this in the country I live in. You're funding it in the country you live in, and people in the European Union and all the other countries within the European Union are funding their own demise, because they are being replaced.
Well, I don't know if replaced is the correct word. We're definitely being blended, though. At least that seems to be the objective. But history has shown that like tends to stay with like. I mean, when they opened up the borders, you know, for the Great Migration, you know, back in the days of Ellis Island and the Statue of Liberty, and they were bringing people in from all over Europe, and it was just sort of assumed that they would become American and just mix right in with the society. But no, they wanted to keep their own culture, so we had Little Italy, we had Chinatown, we had Japantown, we had, you know, little cultures within cultures, and it worked out very well. But I don't think that whoever is behind forcing us all to, you know, just blend across borders, I don't think it's going to end as smoothly as they're probably anticipating. I think there's going to be a lot of hostility, and I'm very worried that when Title 42 ends and that huge surge comes across the border, there's going to be some friction, there's going to be some trouble. I mean, the lowest estimate I've seen for the number of illegals along that border is 700,000, and Biden sent 1,500 men down there. You know,
yeah, catalog them all.
It's a joke. True. It's an absolute joke. Maybe they're there to just register Democratic voters.
I believe
they're down there. They're going to catalog them, and they're just going to walk on through, right, with their brand new shoes and their full bellies.
Yeah,
that you guys paid for, and as well as I, because a lot of this is the UN. It is the UN. We have 130 countries that have signed on to this. That's almost the whole planet.
Yep.
But not only that, I mean, there are, in Canada, in Toronto, there's a city called Brampton, and it has a nickname. It's called Bramladesh. And that's because most of the Indians, East Indians, go there. And I've worked with some of these people, like in the last job, and one guy actually said to me, he had the nerve to say to me that in 10 years, not even 10 years. He said, very soon, he said, we will be running this country and you will be speaking Punjabi. He actually said
that.
Oh,
boy.
I remember
when I was living in Southern California with my parents, we were getting that from the Hispanic community. There was even an organization, Aztlan,
I believe.
Yeah, Aztlan. Yeah. And they were basically working toward returning California to Mexico, or at least the southern half of it, and, getting everybody to speak Spanish. And, you know, it didn't go anywhere, but there's always that kind of tough talk.
Yeah, but it's not – see, things like that, saying stuff like that to people – it's not going to actually, put them in other people's good graces. Because, you know, I mean, my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents built this country, as well as, you know, the country that you live in with all the United States citizens in that country. And to actually say something like that to somebody, you know, it's actually very stupid. But anyway,
yes.
So that's all I had, Mike, because, you know, I had a little bit of time today, so I was kind of looking into this. A lot of this stuff is very hard to find. It's buried deep, like 100
pages
into Google, and it's done like it's done that. But
I wouldn't even use Google. Google is already heavily filtered. I would go to Yandex or Startpage.
Yeah, I tried that, and it's kind of the same thing.
Well, there's DuckDuckGo.
It really is. It's just the way it is. I mean, you know, what can you say? Anyway, that's all I have, Mike. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Bye,
all right, thank you. We're going to go to Francis in North Carolina. Hello, Francis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, what is on my mind? Hello, Claire, you gorgeous gal, you. You're the hot one today, I'll tell you what. But anyway, several quick points for you to start with or to begin with. I cannot see Joy doing a teleprompter at a debate, sadly to say. I really don't.
Well, you're not supposed to. I mean, Hillary used one. It was clandestinely mounted in her podium. Biden's not going to be able to hold his own in a debate.
Nope, not unless someone actually tells him what to say, but then again, he's able to follow it up to start with. And I really hate to say that about someone, but it's just, for me, it's a bit of a stretch to start with. But to say the least, here I go with that one again. As far as the money goes, the military goes to Ukraine, who asked who to send that over there? They didn't ask me. I know they didn't ask you.
Nope.
No, I never got a text message on that one.
Nope.
Basically, it was Zelensky called up Joe Biden and said, send us money and weapons, or I'll leak out all the information about Hunter Biden's dealings with Burisma.
Oh, so he called up his boyfriend. Okay, got it.
Well, I have to wonder, seriously, the depth and breadth of information Zelensky has on the Biden family mafia. And I have a feeling that's pretty intense, what he's got. And that has been the source of blackmail, at least from a standpoint of what the United States has forked over when we still have homeless vets sleeping in our streets. That's not right.
That's not acceptable.
No, absolutely not.
Well, it's not only unacceptable, but it's also reprehensible.
Yeah.
Yep. I hear you.
I mean, when you have billions and billions of dollars, whether it be tangible currency or military arms sent to another country, when it could make this U.S. a sparkling gem that it once was all over again, and actually make other people of other countries green with envy, I mean, it would be ridiculous. But the aspect of going and bringing in people that have not gone through a legal process in the state, that's where I draw the line. It's like, you know what, if you're born here, that's one thing, but if you're coming in here, at least do it legitimately, legally. Don't come in with this I gotta get in here somehow, but how do I do it? Well, how about going and addressing the government of your own country that you came from? Get them to get to let out their backside and actually straighten out their country so that people can actually thrive there and live there and not have to worry about leaving to go somewhere else. How about trying that for a change? And if you say
nowhere near as much fun as bombing other countries into a...
Well, that's true, too. That's true. Yeah. That's sadly true, too. Oh, and before I forget... I have to admit that you gave me a really good chuckle earlier in the show with that Anheuser-Busch's Bud Light. They couldn't even give it away. I was like,
That's what the clerk down at our local bottle shop was saying. They just can't give it away. Nobody wants to even touch it.
I mean, if they really wanted to try to advertise this brew, this name label or whatever, then why didn't they go ahead and get someone who already changed their sex, that was of legal age to start with, and they could deal with it accordingly and so forth, not use a drag queen to do it. I mean,
well, I think Anheuser-Busch forgot, you know, that when you have a product, you actually have a relationship with your customer. Your customer has certain expectations about the product.
If you meet
those expectations, you build brand loyalty, and that's why people come back and use the same product over and over and over again. That's advertising 101. And basically, this stunt has kind of destroyed that brand image. Personally, if I were in a position to advise Anheuser-Busch, I would say, you're going to have to rebrand. You're going to have to come up with something else that you're going to call it, and you're going to have to rewrap it in the American flag and remember who your customers are and what it is they're expecting to buy.
Well, you know what? They could always come up with wiser light, as in they became a little wiser from the stupid action.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Well, Bud Wiser, take the other half of it and say, well, we're a little bit wiser now about what we're doing in our advertising.
That is good. That is good.
That's fabulous.
That's excellent.
Anyway, with that, I'll have lime, coconut, and pineapple with my pumpkin pie, since the corona has been desecrated by a drag queen, for that matter. So with that, y'all have a fun weekend, and I'll chat with you later.
All right. Thanks an awful lot here. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Bruce in Texas. And I know Bruce did call in earlier, and we have the one call per person per day. But he wanted to reply to Joe about Tucker Carlson. So, Bruce, welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hey, Mike. I kind of got angry for a second, but I calmed down.
Okay.
I'm going to clarify this by saying I've heard somebody, listeners to RBN, they don't go on the internet for various reasons. And if you don't go on the internet, you're kind of deprived of some information. And truthfully, I was all for the Iraq war. I was all for go bomb them ragheads and all that before I woke up. Okay. And I'm not an actor. I'm not a plant. I'm just an honest person that made an honest mistake because I didn't have all the information I needed.
Yeah.
Yes. And so let's go back to Tucker. Now, 1 month ago on the show, you need to go, if Joe can go to redacted.com, rumble.com, and search for Redacted. And under the show Redacted, with Peyton Morris, who's ex-Fox News as well, he did a show a month ago with Tucker, and it's called The Truth Must Come Out. I sent a link to you. I sent one to the Mordot and to Mike. And in that interview, Tucker pretty much spilled his guts. He said that he was mistaken, that he felt embarrassed for being a shill for the 9/11 wars. And he woke up. I think maybe Alex Jones got to him. I don't know. But somehow he woke up. And he says in this interview 1 month ago that Building 7 is a question that you can't ask on the media.
Yes.
He said that. So he's not shilling against Building 7 now. He knows the deal. And he knows that there are lines you can't cross in the media. If he would have said that on the air, he would have been terminated the next day. Or that show wouldn't have never aired in the first place.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I just see all over the internet, anytime someone brings up Tucker, if it's an open forum of some kind, oh, he wears a Kabbalah bracelet. Oh, his father was CIA. Oh, he wanted to be in the
CIA. There's definitely a smear campaign against Tucker Carlson going on right now.
Right. And so I'm not saying Joe is intentionally smearing him. Maybe so, maybe not. But I just put the information out there. Go look for it yourself. And then maybe you'll know the truth, or at least the truth according to Tucker. And thanks for having me back again. I just wanted to put that out.
All right. Well, thank you very much here. And let's see. We're going to go ahead and skip the final commercial break, and we're going to go to Kevin in Nevada. Welcome to the show. Yeah. Let's see. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, Claire. Glad to see that Claire's doing good. You know, I prayed to God, Allah, Buddha, and I asked the little green men to land and help her out.
Okay.
And, I got triggered the other day. Someone called complaining about the Jews again. And in 1999, Claire brought up Federal Mafia. I met Irwin Schiff. And, you know, he died they handcuffed him to his bed and wouldn't let his family go visit him, you know, and then people call up and they say, oh, there needs to be a revolution. Need a length of a CNN story? You know, is Earl in shift? Is he a casualty? I don't know, the people 9/11. When the IRS goes after people, are they casualties of a civil war? Or, you know, those, we raided the wrong house. We got those vets who are guarding the drugs in Afghanistan, in Arizona. Yeah. You know, what do we need to, people say we're waking up. No, we're asleep. Where have we been?
Well,
that's my question. I'd like your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts are that, you know, the best way to peacefully try and get our nation back on track is to just keep educating people, you know, and keep reporting on the facts about what are really going on. And this goes all the way back to Thomas Jefferson, who said that the highest duty of every American is to keep themselves fully informed so that they can make good choices. Now, obviously, corporate media is not doing a good job of keeping us fully informed, so we, the people, are doing it for ourselves. That's what all this independent citizens media is all about. It's keeping ourselves fully informed. And as far as making good choices, as I said earlier in the show, in my opinion, the biggest problem facing this nation is an untrusty, unverifiable election system. And we have to fix that before we can have a chance of fixing anything else.
See, the problem, like with Gandhi, you know, the peaceful way, he was ran by the British. You know, there's a lot of Indians that don't like him at all. And the only thing that triggered the people in charge is when the truckers were going to shut down. That's the way to do it. Being informed, okay, yeah, but now you got to act. If you don't want to be violent, then shut it down. They brought out AMRAPs, you know, to Portland, but people were out there saying, hey, the elections are rigged. But, you know, where were the AMRAPs when Antifa was out there? You know, nowhere to be seen. So
yep.
The truckers are on to something, but they, you know, it's really hard when people will lose everything. And people are losing everything. And for the people who say there's not a revolution, sure there is, you know. Ask Nancy Pelosi. She's been there 40 years. She's still there. That means we're losing. We lost.
Well, there may be an abstract revolution going on. And I hope it stays that way. You know, I am disheartened by all this talk of war and violence, whether it's a revolution in this country or Moscow using nuclear weapons on Ukraine. And
why would they do that? I've never heard, they say, oh, Putin says they're going to nuke people. I've read most of his speeches. The only people that bring up nukes are us.
It wasn't Putin who said it. It was one of the other officials within the government. And it's probably just bluff and bluster. But unfortunately, it gets everybody used to the idea of, you know, well, let's go ahead and send off a nuke. Now, I don't think Russia really needs to nuke Ukraine. They are already winning. I agree. It's time for Zelensky to call Putin up and say, you know, let's, you know, have a talk. Let's settle it. Let's make a deal. You know, let's play a game of Monopoly. Whoever wins gets the Donbass and so forth and so on.
Yeah, but how many times are you going to play with people who cheat? Because I think the Russians are done. Because for the last 10 years, you know, they've been going, please, please, please. We don't want to blow up the planet. Please, please, please. At least that's the way I see it. I could be wrong. I'm wrong all the time.
Well, yeah, I know that feeling here. Anyway, we're going to let you go because we're getting close to the end of the show here. And we're going to go to Jim in New Mexico. Hello. By the way, quick note before we go to Jim. Bruce's suggested website is now up on the RBN website right now, so you can go follow the link. So back to Jim in New Mexico. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hello, Mike and Claire. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to pass along for anyone that's interested that wants to see what life is really like in Russia. There's a couple of YouTube channels where the host does regular live streams. He's out of St. Petersburg, speaks pretty Well, good English. Speaks really good English. He's out in St. Petersburg. He spends a lot of time walking the streets with his live streaming, walking the streets, going into business establishments. Tonight in St. Petersburg, he was going around to a few clubs and bars having a beer with his wife and his wife's friend. And, I mean, the place was just absolutely beautiful all over Russia. I see nothing but beauty, art, architecture. It's a homogeneous society. You know, there's not youth gangs of, you know, what they call youths, people of color, roaming the streets, robbing, raping, breaking windows. You don't see any of that, you know, in Russia as far as his live streams go. And his live stream from orchestra concerts, various cello, string orchestras, some little opera concerts. I would recommend anyone visiting his channel. It's Sergey Baklykov, Baklykov. And Baklykov Live is the name of the channel. A really cool guy. You know, he does a lot of history when he goes around. He was up near the Finnish border last week showing some of the historic buildings and talking about the relationship between Russia and the Nordic countries. And it's just a really great way to learn for yourself and not listen to propagandists about the evils of, you know, what they say are in these countries like that.
Well, that would be worth hunting down. And, there are beautiful parts in every country. There are ugly parts in every country. And obviously, when we present to the outside world, we want to put our best face forward. And right now, unfortunately, that's not our inner cities. So, St. Petersburg is a beautiful city. I've seen a lot of photos and videos there. And didn't Grand Tour did a show there, didn't they?
Yes, I believe they did.
Yeah, Grand Tour did a show out of St. Petersburg. And it's just a very lovely place.
Yeah, you know, as he walks the street, you don't see the homeless, you don't see the drug addicts, you don't see the graffiti, you don't see the trash. And like I said, he's all over the city, back streets, and there's another one that's a Russian lady. She's very beautiful, but I can't pronounce her name, and she streams in Russian. She speaks Russian, but she does the same thing, essentially. And the fountains, the sculptures, the architecture, just everything is just so awesome. And, you know, I attributed that to Russia being a homogeneous Nordic people, society.
Okay, well, Jim, I'm going to have to let you go. The music is playing. The show is over. And stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Mike Gaddy is taking up the microphone and maybe our Friday host from now on. Mike, thanks again for taking care of our show. Please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please continue to support RBN in these very difficult times. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Aloha, America.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.